This week's Seder is Nitzavim, and next week some of them won't be a Shir because it's Rosh Hashanah, and so this will be a combo of Nitzavim and Yelech. But the Pasuk's in Nitzavim. It says, "Umal Hashem Elokecha es levavcha." It says that Hashem will circumcise your hearts. So, what's shot in the pasuk? Circumcise our hearts. Obviously, it's not talking physically. He's going to take our hearts and cut them. So, what's the idea of a circumcision of the heart? So, this is talking about the future. And the Ramban explains the following. It says that the whole concept of reward and punishment, that sometimes that if we are rewarded for mitzvahs, punish a person as averas, right, is all a result of the fact that we have free choice, right? There's the Rambam brings in the Hilchos Teshuva. In other words, if we were forced, obviously, to do good, we had to do good, and that was our nature, then there can be no room for reward, right? Because of course we're doing good. Or the opposite, if we were forced to do bad, there can't be any room for punishment, because of course we're doing bad, because it's not up to us. How can you punish me for something that's not my fault? So it's obvious that the fact that there is a Torah reward and punishment, right, that tells us that we have free will, which we in fact do. However, what is the pasuk coming to tell us? That all this is going to change in the times of the Mashiach. Right? In the time of the Mashiach, our nature naturally is going to be that we're going to do good. Okay? We're going to naturally do good. It's going to be like second nature. We're not going to do bad anymore. It's going to come naturally only to do the Ratzon of Hashem. In other words, putting another lingo, there's going to be no more Yetzer Hara. Right? Why do we do bad? Do we have a desire to do bad? It's only because of Yetzer Hara that's pushing us to do bad. So along comes the Torah and says that in the time of the Mashiach, Umal Hashem Elokecha Levavcha, he's going to cut away the Yetzer Hara, per se, and there's going to be no more desire to do bad. And Mamela, we're only going to do good. So, it's a very interesting idea based on the Ramban. As he quotes the pasuk, says, "Vigiyu shanim asher tomarli ein vahem chefetz." Right? This is the time, and the Mashiach comes. These are the years, says Chazal, "Eilu yamos Mashiach, she'ein vahem lo schus v'lo chova." As we said, these are going to be times where there's going to be no more reward and punishment anymore. No schus, no chova. Why? Because we said, because reward and punishment is completely dependent upon a person's desires to do good or bad. And since we're only going to do good, mamela, there's going to be no room for reward and punishment. So, it's an interesting question that was asked of the Chafetz Chaim. And what is that? He says, that's the case. So why are we davening for Mashiach? Right? We want Mashiach now. Right? Why are we davening for Mashiach? We say, Ani Mami, Bemuna Shleima, V'yasa Mashiach. Right? We're constantly davening, we want the Mashiach. And someone asked the Chafetz Chaim, I don't understand. Lamaisa, it's much, much better for us, as Shomrei Torah Mitzvahs, people to keep the Torah, now when there's no Mashiach. Why? Because when the Mashiach comes, everybody's going to automatically be do good. There's going to be no Yetzer Hara. There's going to be no reward and punishment. Everybody's not much reward there, right? Because everybody's naturally going to do what's right. So if so, now we are getting tremendous amount of reward, especially now, right? In a time when, you know, all Jews were from and keeping the Torah, whatever. And even still, there's still reward, of course. There's always the Yetzer Hara, whatever. But now, for sure, when we're in a time when, you know, the amount of from people in the world are dropping the ocean, so when we are able to overcome all that's around us, not only the Goyim, but the Yidden that aren't from, and we are managed to keep the Torah, our schar is unbelievable. So the question's a good question. So why should I want the Mashiach? Right? When the Mashiach comes, goodbye schar. Right now, I'm amassing tremendous schar. Every mitzvah I do, anytime you do a mitzvah, you know, when you have the Yetzer Hara, you get reward. But a kol shekein nowadays, when there's so much going against us, right, living in times that we live in, so we should be the last first people that should be davening for Mashiach, right? Why should I want the goodbye all my schar that I've been, that I'm getting right now? It's a good question. So, what did the Chafetz Chaim answer? He said like this. He says, you're right, said to the questioner, you're right. Right? It's not, it's much better for you as a person to not have the Mashiach come right now. Right? You're getting much, much more schar. So why are we davening it? He says, because you're not davening for you, you're davening for the klal. In other words, for the klal, he says, Yemos Mashiach ein matzav acher legamri. Okay, it's a whole different matzav, he says, in the time of the Mashiach, and that's why you have to daven. Not for you personally, schar, you're getting much more schar now than you get, let's say. But you're not davening for that, for yourself, you're davening for the klal, and that's an entirely different matzav. Well, what does that mean? So l'chora, we could understand it like this. The people that are not keeping the Torah now, okay, it's very negative. It's not only that they're not amassing mitzvahs, they're doing averas, left, right, chilul Shabbos, etc., etc. And all these yidden, which are the majority of the yidden in the world, right, are all not keeping the Torah, and it's a terrible thing. When the Mashiach comes, okay, they're gonna all keep the Torah, right? Everybody's gonna keep the Torah. Now, they might not be getting schar, but what's better? To do avera after avera, chil Shabbos, chil Shabbos, whatever, all the averas, left and right, the arayas, what you name it, right? And, or, to do only mitzvahs but not get rewarded. What's better? Obviously, to do mitzvahs and not get rewarded. Okay, it's not great that they're not getting it, but at least they're not doing bad. They're not going down. Now they're going down, 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 or all the avera daily, right? Okay, when the Mashiach comes, they won't be going down at least, and that's a tremendous mile. Okay, they won't get reward necessarily, but at least they won't be doing averas. Okay, so at least for that, they shouldn't go down. That's worth it. So that's the chura, the idea that it's a matzav acher lagamri. We see this idea in the Gemara in Erevin. Right, there's a machloikis, where it says between Shammai and Hillel, right? Is it better that a person should have been created or not to create been created? Noach lo la Adam shalonivra or shenivra? Right, was it better man should be created or not? And then the conclusion was it was better that he shouldn't be created. That's the conclusion. What's the idea? So they explain, one idea here is, why, yes, we are not created. In other words, because even if, says Tosfos, this doesn't apply, though, to a tzaddik. He says, for a tzaddik, avada, it's better that you should be created. And it says, ashrav ashrei doro, happy is him and his generation. Meaning, that your average person, okay, is exactly what we've been discussing. Your average person, he can't manages Yetzer Hara, he gives into it, he does averas left and right, so it's better not to be created, right, than be created. Why? Because at least if he's not created, he's not doing anything wrong, right? Once he's created, and he's doing wrong, it's better to be, so your neshama is just to be in Olam Emes and not getting any tremendous reward, right, because, why? Because he didn't do any mitzvahs, okay, just hovering there in Shemayim without coming this world to be tested. But that's not great. But it's better than to come in this world and do avera after avera and ruin the neshama, right? But the alavai, what the ultimate, of course, is to come into this world and pass the test and then go up to Shemayim again at a much higher level. That's the tzaddik, and that's why Tosfos says the body of tzaddik is better; he should be created because he comes into this world, he works under the neshama, and it comes back on a much higher level. But if you're not a tzaddik, it's better not to come into this world because it's only bring you down. I'm just this idea. So, we see this idea, though, that what? That we're davening, therefore, for the Mashiach, for the klal. Not for me. Me, personally, I'm doing much better now, right, than the Mashiach comes. However, like we said, for all the whole world, matzav acher legamri, says the Chafetz Chaim, so I'm davening for the world. So we see a similar idea in the famous Gemara in Erevin. Also, it's a Maisa there, famous story with Rav Frida, right? He was the Gemara relates that he had a Talmud that he had to teach everything 400 times. Every lesson he had to go over 400 times until this Bachar understood. So the Gemara relates he was going through over and over again the Gemara 400 times, whatever he's teaching, and in the middle somebody came for Rav Frida to call him out for mitzvah, And he says, I can't come right now, I'm busy, but when I'm finished, I'll be with you. He says, fine. The person left. Rav Frieda continued teaching the Talmud, finished his 400 times as he usually did, and lo and behold, the bachur didn't tachap. So he said, so what's going on? Okay, it takes you 400 times, but at least by 400 times you know the matter. You know, what's going on over here? How come you didn't understand? So he says, well, I'll tell you the truth. You remember those guys came to call on you earlier? I thought you were going to leave, and I was worried that anytime you were going to get up, so I wasn't concentrating. So Rav Frieda said, don't worry, I'm not going to get up. Chas v'shalom. Until you understand, I'm not leaving. Don't worry. So he says, okay. So Gemara said, he sat there and taught them the whole thing over again another 400 times. However, when he finished, and he knew it this time, a bas kol came down from Shemayim and said, Rav Frieda, unbelievable. What you just did was unbelievable. Like another 800 times. So, some people, by the way, Agav, they say, you know, a tremendous mile of Rav Frieda. He says, a tremendous mile for the Talmud. You know, can you imagine a Talmud is sitting there and hearing less than 400 times? So the Talmud is a good Talmud also. But the Basco said, Rav Frieda, unbelievable. Right now, 800 times you taught this thing. You deserve something for this. So, tell you what, you have a choice. Okay? What are the two choices? You can either live, in schus of what you did, live another 400 years, okay, or I'll give you and your generation Olam Haba. What do you want? You know, you won't live a long time, but you'll have, you and your generation will have Olam Haba. What do you want? So Rav Frieda says, I want Olam Haba. Okay? Says the voice, ding, 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 ding. You hit it. You got the right answer. Because you said that, you're going to get both. You're going to get Olam Haba and 400 years. You're going to get both of them. So that's what the Gemara says. So the question of Salant asks, or Yosef Salant, Ber Yosef, he asks a good question. He says, isn't that the obvious choice? Right? He gets like, you hit it, like as if there's a surprise in Jeremiah that he picked that. He wasn't expected to. Why shouldn't he be expected to? Right? Olam Haba, or live a long time. So Olam Haba, I mean, that's what we're living for, Olam Haba. So the fact that why was that something so special that he wasn't expected to pick that? Because he did, he was given both.
Do you think 400 years of more learning would be enough Olam Haba for him? Because he obviously wouldn't just stop learning once he learned those 400 years.
Okay, very good. So that's basically what he says. In other words, he says that no lahefech, for Rav Frieda to learn to live another 400 years, that's for him better. Why? Because he's another 400 years of doing mitzvahs, right? He can, in a lifetime, he can amass tremendous Olam Haba. Can you imagine if he lived 400 years, right? How much mitzvahs he can amass, right? Being the tzaddik he is. So we said a tzaddik is good to live, right? He can do tremendous amount of mitzvahs. So another 400 years, so that was the better choice, l'chura, for Rav Frieda, right? The 400 years. However, he didn't choose that. What did he choose? Olam Haba. Why? Because what was the choice? You, Rav Frieda, can have 400 years, right? Or Olam Haba for you and your generation. He unselfishly chose the Olam Haba. Was unselfish. Why? Because for him, it would be better to live 400 years. He gets all that more many mitzvahs. All much more better Olam Haba when he finally gets it. By taking Olam Haba now, he won't be able to get such a super Olam Haba. Okay, but what? So why did he choose that? Because he heard it's for his generation. He was willing to give up his Olam Haba for his generation. This story reminded me of a joke. Every time I tell this joke, nobody understands it. So I'm going to try it on you. There was once a dean of a university, and he called a meeting of the board. So they were all sitting there around, whatever. And all of a sudden, this angel came from the heavens and appeared to this dean and said, "Dean, you know, you're doing such a fantastic job with this college that all your hard work in heavens, we recognize this and we'd like to give you a reward. So you have one of two choices. What are they? Either you could have infinite wealth, Or you can have infinite knowledge. You can be the biggest chacham that ever was. So the board was listening to this, and he had made a choice. They didn't know what it was. He made a choice, and the angel disappeared. So everybody looks at the dean, and all they see this very sad look on his face. So they turn to him, and he says, "Dean, why are you so upset?" So he says, "I should have taken the money." Okay, I knew you wouldn't get it. Anyways, so also this reminded me, this idea of choosing Olam Haba, there's a maisa with Marami Rotenberg. Marami Rotenberg, the greatest of the early Rishonim, the maisa was, he was taken by the Goyim, he was captured by the Goyim, and put in jail. And for it was a libel, right? And against the Yidden, and they kidnapped him and they put him in jail. And the story goes that the Jewish community got together, of course, and they wanted to pay money and get him out. So they raised a tremendous amount of money and they went to bail him out. However, when the Maram heard about this, he said, "Nothing doing. I don't want you to pay the ransom. Because you're going to ransom with a tremendous amount of money. They're going to steal more rabbis and get more money. So I don't want you to free me. I don't want you to pay this money." So he said, "Yeah, but the halacha says if you're a big a tzaddik, then you can be. Then you do pay, even though it's much more than the normal amount." But he says, "I don't care. I don't want you to do it. I don't want you to pay this tremendous amounts of money for me." And they didn't. And he remained in prison until the day of his death. And he was locked up in some tower somewhere, and he died there. And they said that he was going through torture and everything, and he came with tremendous giluim in Torah, whatever. But the mice, he died there, and the goyim didn't even let his body go. They wanted to leave his body to rot. They didn't want to even to give the body up. But eventually, he was a very wealthy man in the area who couldn't bear what was happening, and he took a tremendous amount of money. He spoke to the right people, and he arranged for the body to be released for burial.
Did the body rot?
Didn't say. Some are not. So they took the body, and they as covered because he did this. They gave him the honor of the burial, and he took the body and he buried it. And the next day, he was Nifter, this rich man. So he came to a dream to one of his friends, and his friend asked, "Well, what happened? You just tremendous mitzvah, and then poof, the next day you're gone. You died. What's going on?" So he says, "I'll tell you." He says, "Yes, I did this tremendous mitzvah with the Maram. I had him buried." So he came to me that night after the burial. He came to me in the dream. And he was so thankful for what I did. He said, "I want to give you something as a reward." So he said, "Also, I'll give you a choice." He says, "I'll give you infinite wealth for generations, and you'll never your seed will never ever see poverty. You'll be wealthy from generation to generations, or Olam Haba, okay, or Olam Haba. You can be next to me in Olam Haba." So he heard that next to you, and I'll be fine. I'll die right now, no problem. So sure enough, boom, he was nifter that night. And his friend asked him. He said, "Nu, how is it up there?" He says, "Oh, don't ask. It's unbelievable." He says, "I'm mamish and Gan Eden next to the Maram Rotenberg." So see, from here, as we mentioned, normally the obvious, therefore, choice is of course Olam Haba. But yet, Freida said. So why was that a tremendous merit that he picked Olam Haba? As we said, and the reason is because for him it would be better to live longer. He can do so much more mitzvahs. But he picked Olam Haba. Why? Because of his generation, his unselfishness for his generation. So it's interesting that I saw a sefer. It's called Lev Tzion, Lapiansky on the Ramban, and he brings this idea. He brings this Chavetz Chaim. And Chavetz Chaim says we have to daven for Mashiach, for Ad, not for you, even though it's more scar for you, etc. And he asks, he says, "Isn't that hard though? Isn't that hard to do? You know, I mean, how can you? I know I'm losing a tremendous amount of scar in the Mashiach. I'm still davening it for, right, for the club. So it's interesting because his answer was that I guess you just have to believe that somehow you're not going to lose out. It seems like you will, but he says I guess you just have to believe that somehow Hashem will make it work out. That don't worry, you won't lose out if the Mashiach comes. So I was thinking it works out beautifully with this Gemara, right? Here's Rav Frieda. What did he do? He said, I could live 400 years and get all this schar, but no, what I'm going to do, I'm going to be mostly nefesh for my generation, and I want the Mashiach to come now. Right? So what does he do? He davens for Mashiach. Why? So his generation and him could get the Mashiach. What did he get in the end? Both. Here he thought he was losing all that schar. He didn't lose it. In the end, he got both. So likewise, like Volopiansky said, he says that somehow we have to believe that you won't lose out. That's exactly what Sabra Frida. He looked like he was going to lose out, though, right? He was Moser Nefer. Okay, I'll take Olamah, but now with my generation, I'm doing this for my generation. Well, I'm losing all this schar for another 400 years, but what happened in the end? He got both. So in the end, Lechora, we don't have to worry. And also, I was thinking it fits in very nice with the Gemara, with the Tosfos over there we mentioned before, right? We said it's better that a person shouldn't be created, says Tosfos, and that doesn't apply to a tzaddik. Because for him, it's good to be created. He gets all this reward. So what does Tosfos say? Interesting little extra word. It doesn't seem not understood at first. He says, but for tzaddik is different because for him, ashrav, that he was happy as he that was created, the ashrei doro. And he adds those words. And happy is his generation. Well, what do you mean happy is his generation? So according to what we said, it's very nice. We suffer afraid, right? Because when it's tzaddik, right, he's moser nefesh for his generation. Right, he'll give up his olam haba, purely like giving up his olam haba for his generation. Like we're afraid of, so happy is the not only is the tzaddik happy, but his generation is happy as well. And I'd like to conclude with a little thought on Rosh Hashanah. Right, as we're approaching rapidly Rosh Hashanah, so we say that on the Rosh Hashanah we find an interesting thing. That what's the main motif of Rosh Hashanah? And we say that the Sefer Yechaim and Sefer Amesim are open, right? And we're hoping that Hashem should write us in the Sefer Tzadikim, right? So I saw Rav Brevda Shlita. He points out. He says, interesting thing. In the whole davening Musaf, whatever Shacharis Musaf, we don't say anything. We should half of the davening should be Hashem write us in the Book of Life and. But the only time we say this is where Kasveinu, with the additions of the Ad Shmon Asrei, which he says were the Anshei Knesset Gedola didn't even write those; those were added later time. And there's even a sheet that the Rambam brings that they don't even say them. So the only few times that we ask Hashem to write us in the Book of Life, that's just later editions that some editions don't even have. So he says, I don't understand that the whole davening of Rosh Hashanah, we're not davening, what are we davening for in Malchus Hashem, etc., etc. Where's all the, where's all the writing me into the Book of Life? So basically, he says that this idea, right, that Einachanami, right, what are we doing? We are making a sacrifice on Rosh Hashanah, right? And what are we doing? We're sacrificing our own good for the klal. Because what are we davening for? Mashiach, basically, right? Hashem, Malchus Hashem, Hashem should rule the world, should give goodbye Rosh Hashanah. We're basically asking for the Mashiach to come. That's the main motif of Rosh Hashanah, right? Instead of what? Asking for our selfish things, right? Hey, Hashem, write me in the book of this, write me in the book of that, right? I want to, give me this. No, what do we say? Well, affect, this is the Rosh Hashanah, the motif is this idea, that we're most of ourselves, what's good for us, right, to our personal good, and we put that aside, and we daven for the klal, Hashem, bring the Mashiach, right? That's the motif of Rosh Hashanah. And like we said, that if we do this, when we do this, we don't have to worry, because we said that somehow everything will work out, right? Even though it seems like we're moser nefesh for the klal, and not, what about us? What about me? I don't deserve anything? Don't worry. If Hashem sees that you care about klal Yisrael, you care about the world, you want the world to come to you, you care about everybody else, then Hashem will take care of you as well. It's Hashem, we should be zocha to daven for the klal, and be moser nefesh for the klal. And then, as we said, the Kodesh Baruch Hu sees this, he will, in fact, bring the final geula, but also we won't lose out, Mitzvah Hashem, and therefore we should see the coming year, the Shnas Geula, and also a geula of the klal, but also geula of the prat, and we should have a year of health, happiness, sweetness, and a year where we can all celebrate the coming of the Heilige Mashiach Tzidkenu Bimhira Bimeinu.